Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in, the one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Welcome back into the Lions 24/7 podcast. I am Tyler Donahue. He is Sean Fisk. Got a bunch to dive into this episode. Sounds like Penn State is eyeing up a new athletic director, something that could be done very soon, according to reports. We'll talk about that a bit. Got some recruiting notes, a transfer portal popped up, and our five-star mailbag later on in the episode. But we begin with Penn State's fourth recruiting pickup of the month of April. And it's number 11 for the 2023 recruiting class. St. Thomas Aquinas defensive back Conrad Hussey, safety prospect, Sean, number 47 in the positional rankings by 24/7 Sports. This is an interesting one. Developed fast. He was on campus a couple weeks ago. And I think that you had dropped a note on the board yesterday morning. The commitment came a bit later, but this one got going in a hurry.
Got going fast. Very impressed with his visit when he came up with some teammates a couple of weeks ago. I believe that was April 8th that he was up. So to turn it around that quickly kind of says something about the way that he felt. Really interesting situation here, because when you recruit St. Thomas Aquinas, which is one of the top talent producers in the country, if not the top talent producer in the country, it's very interesting because Hussey is a guy who played in a crowded secondary. A couple of guys went D1 out of that secondary last year. So you're not going to get the full-time reps that you get. And it's kind of like recruiting an IMG, recruiting St. Francis, something like that. Some of these guys are really good players, but also not full-time. I don't want to say full-time starters, but full-time players when they get out there. Hussey checks a lot of boxes in terms of athleticism. He just ran a laser time 10.9 to start his track season this year, which that means that speed is pretty legit. 6 foot 190 is what he came in at. So I don't want to call him a bigger safety, but you know, he's a safety with a terrific athletic package to put together. Can hit, can cover, can do a lot of things. I'm excited to see where he stands as he plays his senior year at St. Thomas Aquinas, you know, as a full-time player, as one of those guys that they sort of hang their hats on, because that's a school that's, you know, there's a lot of talent hanging around there. I know his teammate King Mack is also highly interested in Penn State as well. His defensive backfield mate there at Aquinas. But yeah, I think it's a position or a guy that can certainly rise up over the next few months and into the fall, where he'll get to showcase his talents maybe on a wider spectrum.
Yeah, if you're balling out for St. Thomas Aquinas, you're a pretty darn good player. And a state championship run last year, he had 4 interceptions, a return to block field goal for a touchdown. But it was really last spring, Sean, during the spring ball, which the huge deal down in South Florida, not really up here in Pennsylvania or the North, but spring ball, it's a good chance for some of those rising sophomores, rising juniors to get on the radar. He took advantage of that little 7-on-7 action last year as well. Penn State was one of the programs that by the time he got through last spring and finished his sophomore year, he was already on that radar. And then he really validated it last season, going out and having a highly productive season, a versatile component of that defensive secondary. And Sean, I think when you look at this pickup, you've got some defensive traction now building for this 2023 Penn State class. And we'll get to the Jameel Lyons a little bit more in a moment, because he came on board not too long ago as an edge rusher. You've obviously got Lamont Payne, another a defensive back slotted at a cornerback at 24/7 Sports Assessment. And Sean, when you look at this addition with Hussey and kind of examine how he fits in moving forward, you have to mention Jaywan Sider going to pop his head up in any recruitment that involves that region.
Yeah, I mean, Sider, as well known as anybody in that area, especially at St. Thomas Aquinas, has been recruiting it for years. So I think it's a situation, you know, for it was really, I don't want to say a bad time to have Jaywon Sider on your staff, but going through the pandemic, not being able to get down there every couple of months, do the evaluation period, do the off-season visits and things like that, really hurt Penn State. And on the flip side, you couldn't get these guys up to campus. His relationships are so good, he can walk into any school down there and just be welcomed. And I think you're starting to see them get a little bit more traction. I hesitate to put Marcus Stokes in that same category. Penn State now, of course, has a couple of guys from Florida in this class with Stokes from Jacksonville. But anywhere in South Florida, Jaywon Sider has been, he's been the man for a long, long time. I think he's going to continue to reap those relationships. And you know, with Penn State, they held off Florida. They held off Florida State to keep him on staff, and there's a reason he's there. You know, I think you're going to see Penn State bring up a bunch of guys this summer that have connections, and that's all over the state, you know, down in Florida for official visits and things like that. So Sider's going to keep going, and it was unfortunate. He started off on a pretty good note, bringing in some guys from Florida. They haven't all panned out, obviously, but, you know, I think that they'll continue to get guys up, and all it took was one visit for Conrad Hussey, and I would not be surprised if there were more guys in that boat this cycle.
Yeah, some Florida buzz here in April between what Zane Durant was doing on the practice field, picking up a quarterback commit from down there. And by the way, Cam Miller, Jacksonville area cornerback prospect, going to be showing up on campus here in the next couple of months and getting his career started as a member of that 2022 freshman class. Sean, on Friday, Jameel Lyons announced his decision. This is one that was projected to go Penn State's way on the show.
Before you get into that, they have 84 offers out in Florida. How hilarious is that? I mean, just
84. Yeah.
I mean, this is Florida, so it's, yes, you know, they do a lot of fishing down there. So it's throwing out guys that you're not going to have a chance with, throwing out guys that you're probably not going to give a chance to, you know, connections and building and things like that. But 84 listed scholarship offers for Penn State in this 2023 class. I think that's probably only going to grow in 2024. But I found that funny. They've put out, we've got them down for 307 total offers. So 84 of those 307 coming from Florida. It's just, it's amazing. I mean, recruiting is very different than it used to be, obviously, but that's pretty amazing.
You can't win if you don't play. And by the way, Andrew Ivins, who does a great job covering out of Florida, the recruiting scene down there for 24/7 Sports as a national analyst, broke down the game that Hussey's going to bring to Happy Valley next year. Scouting report up on Lions247.com. 11 commits, as I said, number 4 nationally right now in the 24/7 Sports composite. And this nice little run in April, which Andrew Rapelier got going in the first couple days, flipping his commitment from Michigan. Stokes came on board as the quarterback commit. And now you've got Lyons on board on Friday. This is an in-state pickup out of Philadelphia, as we discussed. Priority position, edge rusher. He's evaluated as a 4-star prospect on 24/7 Sports. What do you think about this addition and getting it done ahead of that initial August decision date that Lyons had explained earlier in the process?
Yeah, that was one they were willing to wait out for until August, but he came up last week and decided to end it then. So you'll take that, of course, anytime you can get it. Lyons is a very interesting case because this was a guy that they offered basically right after camp, I believe it was, last summer. Came in, tested extremely well, was great with one-on-ones. He's got some explosion. He's a big guy. I mean, he's 6'4 plus, upwards 250. I think 255 is what we have him listed at now on 24/7. So, I mean, there's a lot to work with here. Again, still part of my mind thinks that he's going to end up on the interior just because he is so big, and he's got advanced features, things like that. But for now, they like him on the edge. He's got explosive, you know, pass rushing ability. Very raw in terms of his pass rush moves and things like that, but they'll get him in there. Wouldn't surprise me if he's a redshirt guy as he continues to come together. This was one where we had talked about several times, his academic situation had to improve, and to his credit, he's come along and done that. And, you know, Penn State's really stuck with him the entire time. So I think that's something that resonated with him as he made that decision last week. Good pickup for Penn State. This is a guy that we had as a 3-star prospect. And then after the season last year, you know, Doan and the national team thought he was a 4-star kid. The athletic numbers line up, and there's a lot going for Jameel Lyons right now. Still a raw prospect, which you would expect, you know, as a pass rusher coming out of Philadelphia. But Penn State has had some luck with those guys in the you know, I guess in the last decade. It seems like it's a long time ago since Deion Barnes came through, and now he's your GA that's you know, pulling those strings and things like that. So cool to see Jameel Lyons join the class a little bit sooner than expected, but a big pickup nonetheless. And that defensive side, as you mentioned, that defensive side of this class is slowly starting to catch up to the offense.
And he actually told Brian Doan, been to campus so many times, he's lost track of that number, and he'll be continuing to get here continuously. You'd hope, and carpooling from Philadelphia, they've done a good job of getting these guys to come together from different classes the last couple of cycles. You've seen that payoff with some commitments, some signees. It's a place where Penn State always wants to have that presence, and Jameel Lyons, the latest out of Philadelphia, to announce his decision. I wanted to note before we moved on, Sean, in the case of Lyons, Stokes, and Hussey, all of them were on campus here in April. Lyons, the familiarity was there. He's in the state, but you had a couple guys from Florida. These were the visits that weren't happening at all the last couple cycles, and you're seeing them contribute towards class construction. Remember, last year, didn't get to see campus visits until June 1st.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy when you think about how they were able to build that 2022 class. But yeah, in 2023, you're starting to see, you know, some of these guys have popped up at times. Marcus Stokes was not even on the radar at the new year, and then he went to San Antonio for the combine. Mike Yurcich went to see him in January, visit at the end of January, and all of a sudden he's in the class in April. So you're starting to see some of these guys that whose names popped up in the late fall, or early in the winter, and they continue to, you know, sort of pay dividends for those early visits. A guy like that, Dakari Nelson, linebacker, safety, possibly a linebacker. He's a big kid. He's 6'3", yeah. 195 as a rising high school senior. So remains to be seen if he's a potential field linebacker or something for Penn State. But Penn State got him on campus. He came on his own. I think he watched and these all run together to me for the, it was one of those November games. So was it the Rutgers game, the Illinois game, not 100% sure which one was, but whatever.
It wasn't Illinois. That was October. He was in November. Yep.
Credit him for whichever game he came to late in the season last year. Cause I believe it was gloomy at that point. But he made it up. Penn State's in his top six right now, slated to get an official visit in June. And that's kind of what we're seeing right now is these guys are starting to set up those official visits. A lot of these out of region guys going to come in middle of June, before that June to July dead period. And as we saw last year, that's where the foundation of last year's summer run was established.
Yeah, and Nelson, a top 200 overall talent in the composite rankings for this 2023 cycle. The other schools that he says are still under consideration, he referred to these six as his finalists, along with Penn State. It's Auburn, Clemson, Kentucky, Oregon, and Tennessee. And this is a guy, as you said, 6'3", pushing 6'3", pushing 200 pounds. Still a year ahead of high school. It's hard not to say safety trending linebacker with a prospect like this, but a lot of range. And you know, obviously, Penn State has that gotten their message across? Because you see a guy coming up from Alabama, and I know they got Harrison Wallace a couple cycles ago, and he looks like he could be a player for them. But to see a player pop up on his own dime and then make it a point when he's got a lot of interest down there in the Southeast to get back to Happy Valley for an official visit during this early window, hey, it's a good sign. And that popped up, I think, just a couple hours after they picked up a safety commitment yesterday. So, some news on the Poindexter front, I suppose, for the defensive backfield yesterday.
The safety board is kind of all over the place. You talk about Hussey and Mack down in Florida. You talk about Dakari Nelson. Cam Seldon is the guy that you kind of run to as the top target. He set up an official visit for June. We had on 24/7 Sports over the weekend. Amari Snowden out in Michigan is a guy that I think that you know, he really, really likes Penn State. So this board, while there's no obvious targets, and I feel this way about corner and safety right now, while there's no obvious targets like right immediately up to Penn State in this area, still makes a lot of sense. Or there's still a lot of guys that are highly interested across the country in playing in the defensive backfield for Penn State.
On the offensive side of the football, a guy who's a big-time target for plenty of programs, Caden Proctor. We've got him as the number one offensive tackle in 24/7 Sports rankings. I think he's there as well in the composite. Did not pop up on campus last week. There was some effort on his end to maybe get to the blue-white game. It didn't materialize. But Alan True from 24/7 Sports reporting up on lines247.com on Monday evening that he will be making an official visit to Penn State. He's piecing together that official visit plan out of Iowa, a guy that the Hawkeyes would love to keep home, but Penn State has done enough to put themselves in a situation to at least get to host him and impress for 48 hours and send him home with something to chew on.
Yeah, I mean, probably a hat on the table situation here, but if you can get him out this, I mean, if it's going to be on your own dime, we thought he was going to come in for Blue White weekend, probably looked at the hotel prices and said, no, thanks. I'll come back another week when you guys pay for it. But I think the staff is fine with that. Proctor, number seven overall in the 24/7 sports composite, number one offensive tackle nationally. So there's still a bunch of guys on that board, four commitments so far on the offensive line, but you look at a guy like Samson Okunlola, from up there in Massachusetts. He's a guy that's, certainly, I think we'll be back on campus at some point. You got some wild cards. Maybe Lucas Simmons pops up on campus. And of course, Evan Link, who I would have thought would have taken a spring visit, but he hasn't not been back, in the last couple of months. I think it was January when he was last on campus. So there's a lot of names still up on that board, a lot of guys that are familiar names that I could see taking officials. And then Penn State got a bunch of those interior guys, or probably more interior guys from Georgia, Connor Liu, Nathan Afobe, those guys up for visits in the spring as well. So there's a lot of names, even though there's four guys committed, and I'm probably missing a bunch of guys right now, but even though there's four guys committed in the offensive line, Phil Troutwine continues to press that gas and get guys on campus. We'll be right back on the Lions 24/7 podcast.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, Proctor, 6'7", 330 pounds with another high school season ahead of him. I saw a little bit of him on the basketball court, too, from this winter. What a physical force this kid is. And we'll see how it plays out. Iowa, it would be a really tough loss out of their backyard, but they have a lot to contend with, including within the Big Ten Conference. Penn State going to try to keep their hat on the table, as you said, Sean. One other note here, official visits aren't just about what's going on right now in the early window. Of course, Penn State, a big selling point for them is a packed Beaver Stadium on game day. We're already hearing about official visits being made. Dalen Austin plans to be in town for the whiteout, an official visit from the top 20 cornerback prospect out of Long Beach Poly. Greg Biggins, who does a great job covering recruiting for the West Coast and 24/7 Sports, reporting that. Sean, it's an interesting one. Terry Smith dabbles with a lot of different defensive backs out there in California. We'll see if he can reel one in maybe in this class. But, whiteout's a destination, and this is further proof of this because this kid is going to have a field travel itinerary.
Yeah, he's going to be very full, especially with USC and the bump that they're getting. It's hard to see him getting away. I think he was took in the Trojan spring game over the weekend, or he's at least out at USC over the weekend. So that's going to be a tough one to bring a guy all the way across the country. But, we talked a little bit earlier about the defensive backfield targets being all over the place. Nothing really obvious here in this area. I'm probably forgetting a guy or two. But, you're going to look national. You've got Lamont Payne on board at corner, so why not swing big? Dalen Austin and his His interest level has been reciprocal, but at the same time, that's a long way to go. I did want to slide in one more guy when talking about that offensive line, because he was here this weekend. Zechariah Owens, Flapjack, as you may know him from Twitter, from Eagles Landing Christian in McDonough, Georgia, was at Penn State over the weekend. Very, very impressed with the Nittany Lions and the whole thing. So I would not be shocked to see him back on campus. He, as you could probably guess, with a nickname like Flapjack, he's a big boy. I'm not sure, tackle, guard, whatever, but he is an absolutely massive human being. And just another on the list of guys that have been impressed with Phil Troutwine, with that have shown interest on that offensive line.
Not sure up to date this is, but the measurements on Owens, 24/7 Sports Profile, 6'5.5", 365 for the rising high school senior. Sean, from the recruiting trail.
More than that. Well, I don't want to say too much. He may be a little bit more than 365 right now. So it'd be nice to see that number come down a little bit. But he is, I was looking through photos the other day. He's very, very big. That's your YouTube exclusive. He's very, very square, much bigger than I am. So, but yeah, he's huge.
You mentioned the photos. There's a bunch of them up on lines247.com. A couple different galleries, actually. There were that many prospects. There may need to be another gallery from all the recruits that were on campus and commits and signees and all that. It's over on lines247.com, along with plenty of coverage coming out of the Blue-White weekend. Sean, shifting gears here, because reports from ESPN, The Athletic, earlier today on Tuesday, stating that Penn State targeting Boston College athletic director Patrick Kraft. ESPN's Pete Thamel said expected to be finalized by the end of the week. We'll see if that comes to fruition. But of course, we're now less than 2 months removed from Sandy Barber announcing her impending summer retirement. This is a big one. You just handed your head coach an 8-year contract. What do you think? Early indications as this name surfaces.
It makes sense from talking to people, sort of focused on the search. I hate to say it because of, it sounds bad, but a football focused athletic director is what this program needs. I think it's what the university would like. I know certain people in the university would like that. And you just signed James Franklin to a long-term extension. So you want to get that one going. He spent 2 years at Boston College. A lot of people up there speak very, very highly of the job that he did in the short time at Boston College. Was previously at Temple. We have to, if he comes on board, we have to overlook the hiring of Rod Carey at Temple. It's a situation where this is a younger guy, 44 years old, Illinois native. I was a walk-on linebacker at Indiana. Seemed to be well-liked in Indiana, just based on my short conversation with Zach Osterman of the Indy Star this morning. But he's got experience all over the place. Fundraiser guy that, I think he was involved in the Temple attempt to get a stadium on campus, but I think that that's probably something that, his detractors will hold against him, but I don't really see. I mean, that's a very tough sell, for a tough group right there. But, he's got football experience. He's got, football focused experience. And I think that, especially to the people that are listening to this podcast, we'd be pretty happy with this hire if it goes through.
Yeah, guy who played Big Ten football himself. I read from the Athletics article, earned 3 degrees as a walk-on linebacker at Indiana. So he made the most of his time on a Big Ten campus. And he got in on the athletic department kind of scene, I think, with an executive role with Indiana, kind of worked his way from there. When he became the AD at Temple, I had to double check this, 37 years old. That is really young to be handed the keys to a Division I athletic department. And so he's still only 44. And so
makes me feel good, by the way, at 37.
Well, I mean, so a 44-year-old getting handed the keys to now Penn State's athletic department, obviously a different realm altogether. That's still, I think, quite young to be given those responsibilities. It would say a lot about how he's viewed as a rising star in the industry, and a guy that, if this happens by the end of the week, you're in a good spot right now. You've got the new president transitioning into Penn State. You've got Sandy Barber leaving after really being with James Franklin within a few months of his arrival on campus. So a lot of changes happening, and this was really a prevalent part of that conversation last year when it felt like after every practice and after every game almost, James Franklin was asked, well, what's it going to take to make you feel like this university is committed to you? So much of that was about the vision of the leadership, and when you already knew the president was leaving and we were already wondering how long Sandy Barber's shelf life was going to be with Penn State moving forward. It clearly James Franklin needs to be a central figure, whether people like that or not, as you come to the finish line with this process.
Absolutely. And Not to say there's a change or anything happening with Franklin, but I think it's got to be that way anyway. I mean, you take a look, and you know, we tell people that we cover Penn State, and of course they go right to football. And then they ask about the other sports. You know, do you cover basketball? Yeah, but football's where it's at with Penn State. I mean, yeah, there's no question about it. I know wrestling is obviously, you know, the king of that sport, but when you talk about the interest all year round, it's certainly football that drives the motor here. And I think you get a football focused guy, you get a guy that I think has been successful fundraising, get him around the people that you know, have the deep pockets at Penn State, and I think it meshes very well. The funny thing is, two people sent me a picture of him with Matt Rhule this morning, and that's like, oh, here we go with the Matt Rhule connection. Of course, from being at Temple, probably knows Manny Diaz from Temple as well. It's just funny that people just want to go in that direction right away. But hey, if you got a connection to Matt Rhule thinks a lot of you. Matt Rhule does carry some sway with the Penn State gravitas, so we'll see if he can lean on that and sort of build up those funds and get where this ship, where everybody wants it to go.
Sean, I did not even think about the Manny Diaz deal. I did not even think about that. Those two are going to have to maybe grab lunch somewhere in State College and clear the air a little bit if he comes to campus here. Again, this is reportedly in the crosshairs now is Patrick Kraft, currently the athletic director at Boston College. So we'll continue to follow this one. If something breaks in the next few days and when it happens, you'll have coverage up at Lions247.com. It'll be a conversation that's continued here on the podcast as well. Sean, the transfer portal, we talked about it with spring camps wrapping up across the country, including here at Penn State. It's a part of the game now. You're going to find guys figuring out their next move. And Cole Brevard is the latest Nittany Lion to enter the transfer portal. Came to town in 2020. He was a four-star composite prospect, high three-star by 24/7 Sports out of Indiana. We've talked a lot about defensive tackle position, being in a healthy spot and guys pushing forward. Cole Brevard kind of lost in that shuffle, and now he'll look for another landing spot with a lot of eligibility left to use.
Yeah, when talking about roster movement, this was an obvious candidate. Unfortunately, he's been on campus for a couple of years, has played in just one game. I'll be honest with you, I'm a little surprised it didn't go better for Cole Brevard. You looked at his high school resume, you looked at his tape, his numbers, and things like that. And just I thought he was a solid bet, like maybe not a superstar, but maybe a guy that starts for a couple of years, takes up some space in the middle and does a really good job. It didn't come together. It's the unfortunate downside when you take a lot of guys at a position like that and you cultivate that depth and you iron sharp and iron the heck out of it. That's kind of what happens. So he was running with the threes and the fours at this point. I'm curious to see, you know, how much, I don't want to say how much less talented he is than we projected, because he was a top 247 kid, four-star kid, a lot of really good offers across the country and a centerpiece in that 2020 class, a leader, a great kid, a lot to like about Cole Brevard coming in. I'm just curious to see which level he ends up playing the next phase of his college career. Does he go home to an Indiana or Purdue? Does he take a look at Virginia Tech maybe with Brent Pry down there? And of course, I'm sure he's got other connections throughout the country, but color me surprised in the big picture, just from covering it the last 2 years, not a surprise at all, but cover me surprised that the Cole Brevard wasn't just a little bit more successful here because of what we thought he was coming in.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of saw a high floor situation with Cole, and that kind of leads you to believe going to be a rotational piece at the least, and then maybe eventually kind of a veteran starter. But we'll see. Brevard's going to have opportunities. I have no doubt about that, and I think he's going to have 3 years of eligibility to utilize on another campus. So we'll see what happens with him, and we'll see what happens in the next few days, because this is really kind of gut check time. If you're sitting on the fence on whether you want to stay or go with your current situation, it's time to have some hard discussions with coaching staffs, with your mom and dad and whoever's in that support room, because May 1st, you see that transfer portal shut down for the academic year. So if you want to be on a roster in pads at the start of August, competing for a job on the field, it's time to make that decision. Now, Sean, I don't know if we're going to see some kind of major exodus here. Doesn't seem like it for Penn State. There's maybe a few names. We're not going to blow up their spot right now that maybe makes sense to look elsewhere because of where they are and where they may be on the depth chart here. But I think what I'm looking at is who may pop up that Penn State is going to be interested in here in the next few days, because kind of that list, however that looks on May 1st when you wake up, that's the list you're working off of. You're not going to see some kind of major splash in the middle of July, that barring some kind of unforeseen academic circumstances. So these next few days are going to determine a lot about who you're saying goodbye to and who you may be targeting here in the immediate future.
Right. And that's important to note that that May 1st, if you're a grad transfer, you pretty much have an opportunity to do it after that, I believe. The May 1st deadline, you know, you can go up until that May 1st deadline, and then you'll see what's out there. So it's not like it's a situation where, you know, if you go in or you can't take transfers after May 1st, that's the entry deadline, not the exit deadline, is what I'm trying to get across here. And it's actually pretty funny because I'm looking up and Maryland, Minnesota, Cal, and Washington all have their spring games on April 30th. So that's going to be a really interesting April 30th evening. You know,
sleep on it. Yeah.
If there's a mad dash. I don't know if that's by design. PJ Fleck, nothing would surprise me. I don't know if that's by design, but that's right up against that window. So it'll be funny to see that. But yeah, I mean, I think that you look at Penn State scholarship situation, if our math is correct, at 85 now, including Damian Robinson. So you're in that safe area, but, you know, it still wouldn't be a surprise to see one or two more guys, you know, decide to move along if they want to play right away. You know, if they still want to play football at all, then, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, I mean, I think it's part of the process right now. I like the May 1st deadline, to be honest with you. You know, it kind of gives the player an opportunity to figure out, or a couple of weeks usually, to figure out what he wants to do and if he wants to play right away. And it gives the coaching staff an ability to sort of project their roster for the next season. So, I don't see a downside to it other than, you know, unless you go through the summer and you just realize this is not the spot I want to be. But I think that's going to be few and far between. There were some numbers from Chris Hummer. I'll let you get to those here in a second. But the transfer portal, an eye-opening situation, because it's not always, you know, grass is not always greener situation on the other side. It's certainly going to be, you know, a give and take situation. I think every coach in the country has experienced that. Penn State has done pretty well, and you know, we'll talk about that in the draft episode later this week with guys like Arnold Evocati. So we'll see what happens over the next couple of days, but we'll be watching it closely. And you know, I don't expect too much movement, but certainly, you know, the way we cover it 24/7 year round, every coming and going is certainly very important.
Yeah, the data that Chris Hummer reported on, 59% of FBS scholarship players that transferred in 2019, 20, and 2021 ended up staying on scholarship. So 4 out of 10, the aid was gone. So we're talking about the football ramifications and how much that matters. Think about having 75 credits accrued in your college career and all of a sudden having to find a way to pay for it when that wasn't part of your plan, or having there's a danger in the transfer portal. Obviously it's paid off for a lot of players, but it's not something that we have no one can tell you there's a complete black or white with the transfer portal. It is almost all gray area. And that's just the reality right now. Sean,
and congrats to Anthony Wigan for committing to Akron this week. One of those guys we talked about last week, the former Nittany Lion, is going to play his, I think, last two seasons, I believe, at Akron for Joe Moorhead.
Yeah. Joe Moorhead, yeah, never crossed paths here in Happy Valley, but I'd imagine Moorhead was able to check in on Wigan a bit based on his Penn State experience. Quickly, Sean, we talked a lot about the blue-white game and some spring ball storylines on Sunday morning coming out of Beaver Stadium. Most interesting question to you, it doesn't necessarily have to be the most obvious, but both sides of the ball exiting spring camp, offensively, where's your head at right now in terms of just the question that it's just kind of unavoidable for you, and that probably isn't going to be sorted through until we get to September?
I mean, that's with the offensive line. I don't think there's any surprise there. I'm trying to convince myself that they can find eight guys to put together that can make it happen, especially with Hunter Norzad coming in and, you know, guys getting healthy and potentially, you know, Bryce Effner is probably not a guy that's going to start a ton of games in his career, but he's valuable to have and valuable to be a sort of Swiss Army knife that has played a bunch of positions for you. So just wondering how that kind of comes together. I don't think there's any crazy questions other than that. I know the five-star mailbag that we're going to get to in a second is a good question. But that offensive line, I mean, it's kind of the situation that you keep going back to is, you know, this offensive line, if they can't get it together, Penn State's in for another long year. And, you know, that's kind of the linchpin in the argument for Penn State could be a 10-win team. Penn State could be a 6-win team. You know, that's kind of where we find ourselves.
Yeah, and I think the offensive line is the easiest place to gravitate toward. I'll just go with quarterback. How much can you optimize year six of Sean Clifford? Squeeze every ounce of potential that whatever you saw when he was 15, 16 years old, if you're James Franklin now, can you get every ounce of that on the field with Mike Yurcich in year number two? And then the other side of that is, what's the threshold for you where you're willing to make some kind of a move. And this is all just something you've got to game plan through behind the scenes. I think over the course of preseason camp, as you're allotting reps and you're evaluating Christian Veilleux and you're seeing how those two freshman quarterbacks come along, maybe they can close the gap on Christian. Maybe Christian can close the gap on Sean Clifford, just in terms of the coach's comfort level. We know Clifford, if healthy, is going to be out there trying on the field at Purdue week one, Thursday night, taking that snap. I'm just curious how much they can continue to grow that quarterback room. And is Sean Clifford's ceiling truly growing, or are we going to see, and the coach is going to see, other quarterbacks catching up, and to the point where, you know, you just wonder, what is the breaking point for you with Sean Clifford? And could it possibly come in September if he's not getting the results on the field that you desire?
I think the breaking point for some fans happened a couple of years ago, so we'll see what happens with that in the next couple of months and into the season. Defensively, I know there's a ton of questions at linebacker. To me, coming out of the spring, I still have the same question I had when going in. Who's going to get to the quarterback for Penn State? You know, is it going to be Adisa Isaac? Is it going to be Damian Robinson? Thought Zariah Fisher could be the guy, but he's going to miss the season with an injury, unfortunately. So who's going to come off the edge? The secondary last year was terrific, I thought. But they certainly benefited from Arnold Ebiketie, Jesse Lucchetta, those guys coming off the edge, getting to the quarterback. Was it Manny Diaz that said a couple of weeks ago that a good edge rusher will make a cornerback much better, or something of that nature? And that's what they have to find this year. I know there's concerns about that certain positions, especially linebacker, but who's going to be the guy that gets those splash plays off the edge? Because Arnold Ebiketie is you know, was ready made, did a great job when he was in here for his year. Is Damian Robinson ready to do that? I don't know yet.
Yeah, and I think you said the best pass, the best coverage is pass rush, and you know, certainly Adisa Isaac gives you a boost in that department. We'll see what Robinson can do.
To me, we've talked a lot
about that linebacker depth, and to me, is there going to be a star, a genuine kind of game changer in that linebacker room? I think, you know, it's difficult for me to foresee Jonathan Sutherland being that guy. I think if he's steady, that's great. That's enough for you right now. And if John Sutherland is steady as a year six senior, making the plays when he called upon, middle linebacker, you want somebody who's going to be comfortable to start with, and I think begin to find their way. Tyler Ellison, Kobe King. So that, I think, puts a lot of the eggs in the basket of Curtis Jacobs, who has all the intangibles and the skill set, the athleticism. And we talked about it for years to take that next step. I feel like there is a lot riding on that in the linebacker room, because I think you have star potential in the front of this defense. I think you certainly have star potential across the defensive backfield. Do you have it at linebacker right now? Because when this defense is going to operate at its optimal level, I don't think you can go without having that kind of a caliber talent in that second level of the defense.
Yeah. And does the star have a backup? Because we've seen the numbers there, and it's not pretty, but I like Curtis Jacobs. I think I'm on record as saying, I think this is the year he becomes a star. Be curious to see how that position switch affects him and where he's at in terms of playing in the box and how that changes things for him. But really like his talent, always have liked his talent. I've got bigger questions at the other two positions, but in terms of being a game changer, Curtis Jacobs is going to have a lot on his plate this year. I'll be interested to see if he answers that bell. But again, very, very high on him. But I agree with you. Sutherland could go a number of ways. You want your middle guy to be solid. And if you get more than that, you'll be tickled to death, I think. So, how much can Curtis Jacobs clean up, I think, is probably the question to ask here.
We're going to go to a different position room with our five-star mailbag right now, the running back room. Here it is. We didn't see Keziah Holmes in the spring game, but Kevon Lee and Devin Ford flashed and looked improved. For the new guys, Catron Allen had some nice runs. Nick Singleton obviously has a ton of talent. How would you predict the running back room shaking out after a disappointing 2021? That's a great question, because it's going to be one that we repeatedly ask ourselves. And we were having the same kind of conversation last year, but it had a very different optimistic tone to it.
It certainly did. But you look at this year, Keziah Holmes banged up late in camp. So, missed some time with some injuries. So we didn't see him on Saturday. Kevon Lee. I would agree that he flashed. It's going to take some time to get last year out of the memory bank with Kevon Lee, because you loved him as a freshman, what he brought to the table. Did you really see that growth last year? I'm not sure. So we'll see if he does make that leap this year. Just from talking to the people in the program, you know, you bring up Nick Singleton, you bring up Catron Allen, but to say Lee had actually a pretty good spring, pretty good offseason as well. So Can he translate that into holding on to that job, holding on to the football, but holding on to that job as well? I do agree that Devin Ford flashed. Can't say that I expected to see that, especially in the 2-minute drill in the spring game, but he looked decisive. He looked explosive, and I'm happy to see it because I'm a big Devin Ford fan. I will say Nick Singleton and Catron Allen, they're going to be tough to hold off. And does that mean that they're out there against Purdue taking 15, 20 carries? I don't think so. I think it's something you ease them into to get ready and make sure that they can pick up that blitz, make sure they can do a lot of the things that, you know, don't require holding onto the football, taking the football and running it for a first down, for a touchdown, whatever. Those little things that young backs seem to take a little bit more time to get used to. So I do see them cutting into carries. I do see a situation where Kevon Lee starts the season and, you know, by a couple games in, the hot hand, and I say the hot hand because they always talk about having a hot hand. And how many times have we seen that? Not a ton since since Journey took over late in the 2019 season. So I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting to see how it all balances out, but I do think Kevon Lee starts the season as the starter, and those young guys will cut into that carry load.
I think the last time we saw a Penn State running back go wire to wire as the lead back was Miles Sanders back in 2018. 2019 was a scramble early. Journey Brown took the torch and ran with it to the finish line, but since then it's been, you know, injuries and medical issues playing a role. It's been really hard to gauge where the momentum is and who has it in this running back room. And that's a bit of a span now. So I think the question for me is somebody going to be able to convince the coaching staff they're worth committing 15 plus carries to right off the bat from this season? Or is it going to be two series for this guy, two series for the next guy, two series for a third guy, and kind of sort through it in September, as we've seen in recent seasons and how that played out? To me, Kevon Lee, I like how he has, by accounts and from his own accord, answered the leadership void that was left when a guy like Noah Cain leaves the room. Physically, mentally, sounds like he's done what he's needed to do here in year three. But he's got a lot to work. I mean, we've seen flashes, but we've also never seen him very seldomly be asked to carry the ball a bunch of times and sustain it series after series and take the punishment and answer it. And so still a lot of questions for a guy who's played quite a bit of football for Penn State. I think my forecast right now would be, you might not see a running back break 800 rushing yards over the course of the season because of how you might see the ball distributed, but you could see three guys get the 400 rushing yards. It's difficult for me to forecast, and maybe the best case scenario or the most realistic scenario is a guy like Singleton or Allen, you know, hitting the turbo button somewhere along the season and Jaywan Slater saying, we're riding this hot hand. Maybe that guy takes over. And by the end of the season, there's a clear cut number one, but I think it's going to take a while to get to that point. And I think there may be some frustrating moments, but let's hope there's flashes early because that's what we're looking for. Last year was just a whole lot of 3-yard gains. And that was about it. If you can see this team getting some daylight early and multiple running backs being a part of that, you're happy to share the wealth. What you don't want to see happen again is sharing the wealth with a bunch of guys who are inefficient, because that is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. The definition of a good run last year took a hit in the Penn State fans' eyes. Be interesting because Kevon Lee, you mentioned you never really saw him get going. He was, I just go back to that freshman year against Michigan when he just pounded them, a good defense. He just pounded them. And then we haven't seen that since. And that's been tough. And I know you had mentioned, you were quite vocal in the bowl game about going away from him and not getting him the ball and not going back to, the way that he was most successful. And, you know, you can hindsight all you want, but that was sort of tough to watch. It's very interesting to see how this running game is going to come together under Mike Yurcich, how much work they've put into it, how many changes they've made to it to get to the next level. But that's certainly interesting. I will say this. You look at that group, and I know Devin Ford looked explosive, and I know Keziah Holmes has speed and things like that. I just don't think they provide the big play threat that Nick Singleton does. And does that mean something different for your offense, especially compared to last year and even compared to the latter half of 2020, the first half of 2020? You need something. It doesn't have to be an 80-yard run, but it does have to be a guy that can move the chains and get you 17 or 20 just on a clip or something like that, where you sort of break three and give your offense a little bit more room to breathe. I think Singleton has that. I think Catron Allen showed some nice things on Saturday. Very curious when the Catron Allen to Noah Cain, freshman Noah Cain, comparisons will come in, because there are some ones that are worth going aside from being IMG kids. So we'll see how it goes out. I think it's a really good question. I wish I wish we had an answer, like a concrete answer. But that, as you mentioned, the first part of that schedule is really interesting because you go to Purdue, you go on the road at night on a Thursday night. You don't want to be messing around with carry rotations and things like that. And then 2 weeks later, you go to Auburn, which you got to assume is going to be a night game as well. There is some buffer in that early schedule with Ohio, Central Michigan, and Northwestern before the bye week. But by the time you get to October 15th at Michigan, you better have your stuff in order. And I think that's probably the scenario that we're looking to, which is not unlike the 2019 schedule scenario.
We'll see what happens at running back. A lot of competition continues, and that's a motivated bunch, as they should be. Jaywan Slater publicly did a lot of yelling, making sure media overheard it, I think, at some of these practice sessions, particularly pointing out their yards after contact. So he wants to make sure this group is fueled, and I think they will be going in the summer. They should be, with a couple of those freshmen coming in and doing some big things. That's going to do it for this episode. I do want to note we have Daniel Gallen over at Lions247.com as well starting this week. He's got some stories up. He spent last season with Penn Live covering the team. You'll hear from him pop up on the podcast in the future. But we'll be back later this week. Take another look toward the NFL draft. See what's going on in the recruiting world as well. For Sean Fitz, for producer Lance Glenn, I'm Tyler Donahue. This is the Lions 24/7 podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.